That's impossible. For a mere mortal, perhaps. But you're the Antichrist, and that's my condition. With that, she ducked back into the house and slammed the door. He stared at it, the thick portal rather intriguing with its intricate whirls and swirls. Solid, too. Briefly, he thought about kicking it in, but knew that breaking in wouldn't prove a thing. If he wanted Isabel back, he'd have to give her what she demanded. Heading back down her long driveway, he ducked his head and tucked his hands into his pockets. How to give Isabel what she wanted? Surely he could swing it. He had connections, and his dad owed him more than a few favors. Perhaps he should... The chuff of warm air hinting at things bleeding and dying hit him in the face, and he looked up. And up some more to the figure in red armor sitting atop a massive horse. A horse made of bones thinly covered in skin. The eyes, black gaping pits, its breath smoke bringing to mind gunpowder and violence. For a second he wondered if he'd eaten some magic shrooms, then recalled that his stash blew up in the cemetery explosion. Sob. It had taken him months to cultivate his very hallucinogenic crop. However, no drugs meant he was straight as a whistle and still seeing a cadaverous horse and rider.
Christopher Percy Baphomet.
The voice coming from the helmet had an odd echo to it. What if I am? Who the fuck are you?
I am War.
Is that your first or last name?
It is my only name.
Short for Warrant?
No.
Ward?
No.
Warwick? Warner. Wharton?
No.
What about a nickname?
I am War,
spoken in a thunderous tone. Someone was a little testy about his name. Just War, eh? That's got to make it easy to fill out forms.
Enough. I did not come to discuss my mortal appellation.
I should hope not, given yours is much cooler than mine. I got stuck with Christopher. Chris for short. But I draw the line at Chrissy, unless you want me to stomp on your spleen.
Your name will be etched on a tombstone if you don't quiet yourself.
The disgruntlement echoed inside the crimson helmet. Someone didn't chug his WD-40 this morning, I see. Grumpy little fucker. But I'm cool with it. I'm not feeling so charitable myself today. Woman problems, you know. He uttered with a conspiratorial air.
Women are the bane of all existence,
agreed his new chum. Finally, common ground. So, what brings you to my fiancé's house?
Don't you mean ex-fiancé?
Definite jibe in there. Simple misunderstanding, so don't think you can go shaking your tin can in her direction. She's spoken for. If anyone went near her, even his new red-armored bud, he'd crush him and recycle his ass.
I have no interest in your female. I am here because your mother demands your presence.
A simple lackey. War went down a notch in his esteem. Mother can demand all she wants. I think I'll pass on a tete-a-tete. Because mother and her habit of reanimating the dead freaked him out.
Passing isn't an option. You will come with me. Get on the horse.
Or what? Chris dangled his hands in front, waving them around. It's just me and you, War. I think I can take you. I am, after all, the Destroyer of Nations. Just one of the many names the prophecies gave him.
And I am War, the most powerful of the horsemen, the bringer of the apocalypse. When I ride, the armies of this mortal plane answer to me.
They do? Chris leaned closer. Can you tell me how you get them to do that? Because I'm supposed to be the adversary, the king of fierce countenance, and yet I can't even get the barmaid to bring me a beer without her expecting a tip. And, apparently, promising to anoint them with his precious cream wasn't considered bonus enough.
They follow because I am War, the general for the army of darkness.
But as the Antichrist, aren't I above a general, a.k.a. I outrank you? A noise gushed out from the helmet, a sound that reminded Chris of his youth when he exasperated every adult he met.
You are nothing at the moment but a pain in my ass.
Do you have an ass? Because I can tell you, it's hard to tell in that tin can. For all I know, you've got a flat butt and chicken legs.
Silence.
The word boomed, and mere mortals might have been impressed. Chris was annoyed. You can't speak to me like that. We might be friends, but when I take on the role of destroyer of nations, I will fire your ass and hire someone with more sycophant respect.
Your mother awaits. You will come with me now.
You can't tell me what to do. Just to piss the red-armored dude off, Chris might have flashed him a pair of birds. War retaliated by raising his hand and uttering a deep, reverberating command.
Bring the boy to me.
The words rolled over Chris in a cold, shivering wave. The tremor of them iced his skin, frosted his lashes. Impressive, but who are you talking to? It's just you and me, bud. No sooner had he spoken than the very earth trembled. The air, everything around him shook. Yet it didn't happen on a physical level, but on a metaphysical plane, a tremor he felt inside his soul. What did it mean? He found out a moment later when the ghosts began to rise from the ground. Chapter 8. Upon leaving Christopher and returning inside, Isabel found an audience awaiting her.
So? Asked her mother.
So what? She repeated, being deliberately obtuse.
What did you and Lucifer's son talk about?
This and that, mostly about the fact that he's a lying dirtbag.
Isabel!
Ah, that sweet high note. It meant she'd achieved her goal of annoying her mother.
You didn't say that to him, I hope.
I most certainly did. I only told the truth. This entire situation could have been avoided if he'd not freaked out because he had to get married to me before getting into my pants. And then, the jerk not only wouldn't marry me, but he was ready to marry someone else.
He was marrying you.
But he didn't know that at the time, did he? Isabel sniffed.
Is that why he came? To apologize? Asked her mother.
It was a half-assed apology and a bunch of puny excuses. He claimed he wanted to marry me all along, that he panicked and changed his mind, but didn't have a chance to act on it.
I don't see the problem, her grandfather interrupted. You like the boy. The boy likes you, and he's willing to marry you even if you are temperamental.
He's only willing because Lucifer twisted his arm. Did you know the devil threatened to kill us all if Christopher didn't marry me? So rude. And cute. Chris thought he was protecting her, which did kind of redeem him, just not enough for her to give in to the pressure put on her by her family.
Our lives are at stake. All the more reason you must marry the boy, Rasputin declared, his bushy brows climbing to the top of his head. You'll doom us all if you don't.
Don't worry. I told Chris I'd marry him. Her mother and grandfather beamed. If he could get Papa to walk me down the aisle. The smiles turned to grimaces.
Impossible. We have a better chance of hell freezing, sputtered grandfather.
Your father is gone, said sadly by her mother.
If only she knew that father stood right behind her with his ghostly hand on her shoulder. Seeing his spirit was something Isabel didn't talk about, though, especially since everyone just assumed she imagined it as a grief-stricken young girl. The mediums brought to the house couldn't see Daddy. Frauds. He stood right in front of them, waving, yet none of them saw him. So next came the doctors, psychiatrists whose sole task was to convince Isabel that her father was gone. Since she couldn't get anyone to believe her, she stopped talking about him. Maybe they were right. Perhaps the ghost of her father she saw truly was a figment of her imagination, wishful thinking by a girl who'd lost her dad. Years later, she still saw him, saw how he hovered close to Isabel's mother. She knew he saw her, too. He eyed her and gestured, his mouth opening and closing, but she couldn't hear a sound. couldn't figure out what he wanted to say. She even learned to read lips in the hopes of understanding, but despite the best tutors, she couldn't understand a word he mouthed. The setback didn't mean she stopped trying, and now she might have finally found someone who could help her. Her chin tilted as she faced her mother and grandfather. "Papa might be missing, but unlike you, I'm not giving up. I will get him back." If anyone had connections to the realm of the dead, it was Chris, the devil's son.
"I sense a disturbance in the Force."
Grandfather's eyes lost focus.
"Since when do you quote Star Wars?" Isabel asked.
"Hush, don't disturb him,"
her mother chastised.
"Something has roused the wards on the property."
"Someone thinks to use magic, the power of the dead,"
Grandfather hissed, his brows dropping low, dark hoods over his eyes.
"On my land, without permission."
"It's probably just Christopher, coming back to try and sweet-talk Isabel into taking him back. Maybe she'd let him steal a kiss to give him encouragement before sending him on his way."
"The boy doesn't trip my wards, damned Baphomet genes," Grandfather grumbled. "Something else is to blame."
"Easy enough to see who dares enter Rasputin land unannounced."
Mother waved her hand over the mirror in the front hall. The surface turned opaque before clearing and showing the driveway where Chris squared off against a red-armored form on a horse, a bulky fellow with his face covered by a helm and his arm raised, seemingly ready to unleash the army of ghosts behind him.
"Who is that?"
Isabel asked.
"The beginning of the end."
Rasputin clapped his hands, and his brows did alternating caterpillar hops.
"The apocalypse has finally begun."
"Not on our property, it hasn't,"
snapped Mother.
"I didn't spend years cultivating my roses for some upstart horseman of the apocalypse to stomp them with his army of undead."
Mother snapped her fingers, and her casual night robe of white edged in silver changed into something more practical and dark. A split riding skirt of deep black leather and a tightly fitted jacket of the same. The perfect ensemble to hide bloodstains. Although Isabel had to wonder if ghosts bled when wounded, did they ooze ectoplasm? Could ghosts even harm Christopher? Her father never did manage to touch the mortal plane. Ghosts were remnants of those who'd come before, fragments of memories, some, like father, more coherent than others. Still, her grandfather was twirling his beard, and his eyes bore a mad light, one that promised mayhem.
"Shall we greet our guests, daughter?"
he asked, holding out the crook of his arm, a snap of his fingers having transformed his late-night tweed outfit to something more befitting a wizard. Playing Dungeons and Dragons. Someone should mention to Grandfather that robes adorned with stars and moons were a thing of the past.
"Greeting them would be the polite thing to do."
Mother tucked her hand under his arm, and the pair sailed out the front door as regal as you please. Peering down at Goshen, who'd finally woken and dragged his furry butt from his comfy spot on his cushion, Isabel shrugged. "Shall we go check things out for shits and giggles?"
"Woof."
Looking slightly less regal in her cut-off shorts and stained shirt with a massive scruffy dog by her side, Isabel followed her family. Upon setting foot outside, she immediately noticed the deep chill permeating the air. Her nipples hardened into peaks, poking her shirt. "If all else fails, maybe I can stab someone with them," she muttered. No wonder Mother always recommended wearing a bra when leaving the house. Mother also told Isabel to always wear shoes, and that proved to be solid advice given her bare feet protested at the roughness of the cobblestones laid in a pattern forming the roundabout driveway. Some people had lion pillars guarding their gates. Grandfather opted for fierce griffins. Ahead of her, Grandfather took long strides, his long robes flapping, while Mother matched him, head held high. Off to battle, not a weapon in hand. Had to admire their courage. In the distance, the rider's crimson armor shone, lit from within by a muted light.
What had Grandfather said about them waking or being released? She'd really have to brush up on her horseman history. Around the eerie horsemen stood wavering mists, ghosts, probably those of the bodies that fed the roses. Mother believed in recycling, especially when it came to fertilizing her prized flowers. That might come back to bite the family today. Christopher stood his ground, despite the growing force against him. The guy had balls. Freaking big ones. Despite herself, Isabel couldn't help but feel things for him. Things that made her quicken her step. Hard to hold on to her anger when he gave her such a plausible excuse for everything. Do I want to forgive him? Yes. So why did she give him such an impossible task? Because he needed to work for it. If she just gave in to him, just said yes every time he smiled or said, "I'm sorry," she would set a bad precedent. He'd started the mess between them, and now he needed to fix it. And if she got her daddy back in the process, the world would be a better place. Her grandfather straightened to his most pompous height, and his brows behaved themselves, forming dark slashes across his forehead. She waited for him to tell the armored peasant where he could go. Instead, her grandfather pussied out.
"Welcome, war. You honor me by visiting my humble abode."
Welcome? What happened to kicking the ass of those invading his land? What about putting peasants who thought to trespass in their place? Would they simply talk things out? I feel gypped.
"Mighty Rasputin, we meet again. Are you here to aid me in delivering this recalcitrant boy to his mother? Since when does the mighty war play fetcher of wayward children? None can deny the mistress's command."
Who is his mother? Trust Isabel's own mother to ask. The red-helmeted head canted.
"That is not something she is prepared to reveal quite yet. But trust the word of war when I say you do not want to get on her bad side. She has waited a long time for her revenge."
"Speaking of bad side," Christopher jumped in, "you do realize that anyone who pisses me off now is going to get an ass-whooping later when I'm king of hell."
"The key word is when," War mocked. "And that grows more and more doubtful the longer you deny your heritage. It is time you accept that your mother will pave the path to the throne. Eschew her, and you will find yourself crushed beneath the follies of those who've tried before."
"Don't compare me to pretenders." Chris held himself tall. "I am Lucifer's only son."
"At the moment, and for how long if you continue your foolishness?"
"What's in it for me if I hand the boy over?" Rasputin asked.
At that, Isabel interjected. "Grandfather, you can't give Chris to this man, demon, spirit in an aluminum suit thing."
"I don't see why not. You don't want him. You made that clear yesterday afternoon. And with the boy gone, Lucifer won't have any choice but to fulfill his debt himself."
"Marry the devil? What is wrong with you?" she snapped. "I don't want to marry your old demonic chum."
"And you don't want to marry his son, so why not hand him over? It's not as if we need him."
"I need him." But if she said that, then she'd box herself neatly in the trap Grandfather laid. Handing him over would be foolish without more information. We don't know who his mother is or what she will do to him.
"Again, you speak as if I should care. I don't. I say we hand him over and see what happens."
Rasputin tucked his hands into his voluminous sleeves as he stared down his narrow nose at her. His obstinate look. He wouldn't budge. So she went to Plan B. "Mother, surely you won't allow this." Mother shrugged. "He does have a point. You need to make a choice. Do you want the gravedigger or not?" "That's former gravedigger," Chris interjected, "and future king of fierce countenance." "You're not a king yet." The reminder hung in the air. Grandfather's impatience emerged in terse, clipped words.
"Enough of this pointless chatter. I am still waiting for a valid reason why I should aid this..."
The brows bobbed in a disparaging fashion in Chris's direction. Person. Everyone stared at Isabel, leaving the momentous choice for her future, perhaps that of the world, in her hands. What should I do? She couldn't just agree to hand Chris over, but at the same time, by defending him, she tipped her hand. In the end, there really wasn't any choice, nor could it be called the lesser of two evils. She still cared for Chris, still thought they could have something together. She crossed her arms. We are not handing Chris over.
Are you sure?
Grandfather's brows beetled in her direction. Very.
Rasputin clapped his hands and rubbed them together.
You heard my granddaughter. We're keeping the boy. You cannot seriously think to leave the decision to a chit.
The words rang hollow from within the mask, filled with incredulity.
That chit, snapped Mother, is my daughter, and you will not speak of her in such a tone. I've mulched people for less.
I will speak as I choose, for I am war.
He gave the word an impressive boom. Notable, unless your grandfather juggled fireballs for children and set villages on fire. The most recent pyro display because they dared to give his impeccable vintage Cadillac a ticket for parking in front of the town hall and blocking a hydrant.
You're nothing but an upstart in a rusty suit of armor, Mother declared. And quite rude, too. I can't abide rude guests.
I can't tolerate guests, period, grumbled Grandfather. We're keeping the boy.
Whereas Chris, not content to leave well enough alone, waved his hands. Hello, still right here and capable of making my own decisions. But no one paid him any mind. War straightened in his saddle and intoned in a somber and deep timbre,
Resistance is futile. You have just signed your death warrant.
Again, sounded really impressive, truly chilling. To anybody else. Isabel bit her lip, but her mother and grandfather didn't hold back. They laughed.
You chose the wrong family to threaten, or have you so soon forgotten that we love a good battle, and we always win?
Eventually. Grandfather once held on to a grudge for 20 years. His patience paid off. Mother reserved those ground-up bones for the pride of her collection, the Juliet Rose, a precious bush harvested, ahem, snipped and stolen, from the Creator.
Remove yourself from my land, or else.
War leaned forward in his saddle.
Or else what?
Rather than tell, Grandfather showed. He waved his hand, an intricate swirl that left colored motes hanging in the air. Actual magic, visible to the naked eye. The pieces of light coalesced into a web that expanded when he flung it. The glowing filigree struck War and sizzled upon contact with his armor. It sank in, leaving luminescent crisscross lines all over his body. War didn't cry out. Didn't say a word as the bright web burned, embedded itself into his armor. The lights fizzled out, and Grandfather muttered, Interesting. Interesting as in Grandfather was testing War, or that the armor fellow so easily brushed it off. Isabel kind of wanted to know. She felt naked in this fight, her special sword lost in the swamp. Or was it? She patted her side and could have smiled. She should have known her daddy wouldn't give a little girl something she could easily lose. Enchanted weapons were the best. War dropped his arm, the sharp head of his spear pointing at them, and the ghostly battalion surged forward, their gossamer forms passing through shrub and rock. Christopher snickered. Is that all you got? Foggy spirits? I gotta say, I kind of expected more. You know, Night of the Living Dead style. Real bodies coming back to life, maybe a few moans for brains. She could understand his blasé attitude. After all, ghosts didn't seem so dire when compared to the cemetery and museum uprisings they'd survived. Except War wouldn't act so cocky unless he knew something about these spirits that they didn't. I think you should watch out, she shouted as the first of the spirits reached him. Chris turned and faced the approaching spirit with a quizzical air, their see-through appearance deceived. Despite knowing ghosts couldn't touch this layer of the world, Isabel reacted by drawing her sword and dashing in front of Christopher in time to deflect a ghostly sword aimed at his heart. To her surprise, the blades clanged. Not so ghostly when war commanded them. In short order, she was deflecting blades, and Chris was cursing. Where's a fucking shovel when I need one? Grandfather was cackling. This reminds me of the good old days in Mother Russia. And Mother was screeching, Watch out for my roses! Those roses reacted by sending out vines, the thorns on them thick and sharp. They wrapped around ghostly limbs and drew the souls back into the soil, but there were so many. The family had rid themselves of quite a number of inconvenient people over the years. As for Isabel's new puppy, Goshen, he nipped at the stallion's hindquarters, darting in to take a bite, dodging the hooves that came slamming down, leaving holes in the ground. While Isabel deflected, she noted they weren't really making a dent, and the bodies were crowding them, reaching for Chris, not interested in killing him. They wanted to capture the prince in waiting. He pressed into her back, muttering, Got any ideas? Maybe a number for the Ghostbusters? Her free hand clasped his, the jolt of awareness all too familiar and comforting. We'll get through this. You have a destiny, remember? That's right, I do. He straightened and pulled free. Shoulders back, he addressed War. Bow to your master, soldier. The imperious command was met with derisive laughter. I bow only to my queen. Is that a dare? Chris arched a brow, looking deliciously rakish. Challenge accepted. He held out his hands. Horde of the undead, heed my call. They moaned as they reached for him, not pausing in their attack. Isabel slashed off a few foggy limbs, giving them a moment's respite while the injured spirits grew them back. I don't think they're listening, she mentioned. I noticed, he grumbled. He cleared his throat and spoke louder. I said, Horde of the undead, heed the call of your true leader. Nothing happened, and the ghostly army surged as War laughed. The spirits pressed in on all sides, and Isabel grabbed hold of Christopher's hand. It was nice knowing you. We aren't dying today. His fingers wrapped tightly around hers, sending an electrical shock of awareness through her. Every time they touched, she felt it to the tips of her toes and the ends of her hair. A ghostly hand clawed at her arm, and she gasped, the pain of its touch sharp. Motherfuckers, you dare? Was it possible to feel anger, to sense the emotions of another person and enjoy it? Because she did. Chris didn't like seeing her hurt. The air filled with expectation, a crackling of electricity and ozone as if a storm brewed. This time, when Chris spoke, his voice boomed, a sound that sent a shiver through everything, even the spirits. I said, halt your fucking undead asses. I command you. Everything paused. A hush fell. In that silence, Christopher smiled. That's better. Now that we've ascertained who's the real boss here, do something about the rebellious riffraff, would you? He pointed at War. Take him back to my mother and give her a message. Not interested. You can't do this. I am... Going to learn who your true master is, Chris declared, and for a moment, despite his ragged jeans and disreputable shirt, she saw the regal bearing of a king. Ghostly hands turned to grasp at War and his horse. The massive beast of skin and bone reared on its mighty legs, neighing and blowing acrid smoke. Slashing at the foggy fingers didn't stop them from grasping at War's saddle and his armor. He kicked them off him and yanked on the reins to force his steed to rear again, hooves hovering in the air before pounding ghosts into mist.
"This isn't over, Lucifer's son,"
War shouted before galloping out of sight.
"I should hope not," Rasputin muttered. "I was just getting warmed up."
"My roses, my poor roses."
Mother hovered over their bent branches, murmuring to them. Isabel might have heard a few whispered, "fresh blood," and "ground bones," before she turned her focus on Chris.
"Well, that was kind of cool. How did you know you could command them?" Isabel asked.
He shrugged. "I didn't. But figured with how often I've been running into dead people lately, it was worth a shot." His brash words didn't completely hide the fact that he'd been unsure whether it would work. She wanted to hug him and kiss him and... nope. Not giving in that easily. "It's obvious you have an affinity for those who've passed. I just know you'll succeed in bringing my papa back." She beamed, and he swallowed hard.
"Yup. Piece of cake.
Don't worry. I've got this."
"So you have a plan?"
she asked, knowing full well he didn't by the panicked look in his eyes. But it was fun to poke him and add a teasing, "Mind if I tag along to help?"
"You will go nowhere with that boy," decreed her grandfather.
Which totally assured she would. Road trip.
A motherly interlude. In a place long forgotten, via a cracked mirror that acted as a conduit.
"What do you mean he refused to come?"
The temerity of her son astonished, but also roused a great deal of pride. The child she'd birthed, and hidden, showed great promise. Strength, too. He'd need it if he was to beat his father and become the new lord of hell. But even big, strong boys needed their mother.
"He can control the army of the dead," War declared,
his armor creaking with the shame of his defeat.
"If he can, then this is a new power,"
she muttered, turning from the image of her soldier.
"He certainly never commanded the undead before."
She'd watched via her scrying glass how he'd found the zombies that rose, fought with a shovel, not magic. Death, his scythe leaning against the wall as he indulged in a game of chess with Famine, interjected,
"He doesn't control the dead. He's not a necromancer." "Then how do you explain the army obeying him?" War snapped. "Or is this your fault? Are you undermining me in order to raise yourself in the esteem of our queen?"
Death lifted his head, the deep cowl hiding his features. "Accusing me of cheating?"
"Accusing you of setting me up for failure."
"Whilst the idea of you stumbling pleases me, I have no need for subterfuge to gain my queen's grace. You will fail on your own merits." A flick of her hand caused the mirror to glow, snaring their attention.
"My general raises an interesting question. How is it the ghosts obeyed my son?"
She could animate the dead with a hint of her essence, but controlling their spirits? Even when she wasn't locked in her prison, she'd never managed such a feat.
"Ghosts are simple-minded things," Death intoned. "Soldiers with no solid thought or purpose until one is given to them. Could be that their misty, pea-sized brains serving the future king was more important than obeying a pompous fool who couldn't bring one reluctant boy home."
"Let me try again."
Regal of bearing, War faced his queen and demanded another chance.
Another chance to fail. "I think I shall rely on another to bring me my son."
Famine raised a head, the features drawn tight and hollow.
"Shall I starve him until he has no choice but to come?" "Yes, and you shall take Pestilence with you, one to take from him everything that feeds his body and soul, remove from him all hope, starve him of his dream, poison him against those who would help him, spread doubt. Once he has lost everything, he will have no choice but to come to me."
The bilious robes of the Harbinger of Sickness swirled.
as my queen commands.
A queen in hiding, but not for much longer. Chapter 9. How much longer can I fake it? Isabel thought Chris had a plan. That would imply he knew what he was doing. Chris barely remembered what he ate for breakfast most days. How did she expect him to formulate a scheme to bring her dad back from the dead in the span of like 15 minutes? But admitting that he didn't have a fucking clue wasn't an option. And besides, she wanted to come with him, so even if he had to wing it, he'd figure something out. He brainstormed quickly, urging his brain cells, some possibly permanently burnt from all the drugs he'd done, to think of something. Problem: reviving a dead man. Bringing back someone who'd left the mortal plane meant first finding his soul. As they walked back up the drive to her house, he asked questions. Before I divulge my awesome plan, are you sure your dad is dead?
Yes.
How? She shrugged. We don't know the details. Papa often went on mysterious missions. He'd be gone for days at a time. Until the last one, when he never came back.
So you don't know he's dead for sure, he prodded. He could be alive.
Whirling on him, her eyes were bright with anger. If you're implying my father abandoned us for another life, then you're wrong. He's dead. She sounded so certain. But you don't know where his body is? She shook her head. If you don't know where his body is, then how the hell am I supposed to do anything? I mean, at the very least, I'd need to find his spirit.
Oh, that part's easy, Isabel laughed. Papa is in the house most of the time.
Don't you start with that nonsense again, screeched Mother, who'd swept up behind them. I thought you told the doctors it was just your imagination.
No, you wanted me to tell the psychiatrists I was imagining it. The truth is, Papa has been haunting us for years now.
The mediums we brought in all claimed differently.
Mother planted her hands on her hips, which might have looked more impressive without the smudge of dirt on her cheek.
And they were wrong, Isabel shrugged. I don't know why they can't see him.
She pointed to a spot behind her mother.
He's standing right there.
At that, Maria's face crumpled.
He can't be. I would know if he was near.
Shouldn't Chris know as well?
He peeked at the area around Isabel's mother, strained to see, and thought that perhaps the air seemed a little denser, but... Yeah, no. He didn't sense a bloody thing.
Are you sure he's hanging around? He was your dad. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, and without a body, you can't be sure he died. It's not uncommon for men to have a midlife crisis and take off.
At that, Maria screeched.
He would never abandon us.
With her head held high, she swept off into the house, Rasputin right behind her, leaving Chris alone with Isabel. Sweet. Since their audience was gone, Isabel could properly thank him for vanquishing war. Instead, Isabel slapped his arm.
Watch what you say. Can't you see this is a delicate topic?
Sensitive subject matter didn't mean he wouldn't question and push. No one can see his ghost, just you.
Then look harder, Isabel exclaimed. He's right there.
She grabbed his face and turned it. A jolt of energy zinged through the skin-to-skin contact, and he opened his mouth to speak, only to blink. He blinked a few times more before saying, "Holy shit, I see him." More disturbing, the ghost, his appearance translucent but still distinctly male and large, fixed his gaze on Chris and said, "Get away from my daughter." Isabel gasped,
"Papa?"
She took her hands from Chris and stepped away from him.
"You can talk. How come I've never heard you before?"
The ghost shot her a look full of longing and despair, a look Chris knew all too well, and faded out of sight.
"Papa, don't go,"
Isabel uttered in a mournful tone before turning on Chris. I told you he was real. You have to help him.
He didn't have to do shit.
But, he sighed, I'll help. He didn't know how, but he'd try.
Gag. That sounded kind of weak. Fuck trying. He'd get Isabel's damned father back because he was the prince that shall come, and his daddy owed him a favor.
Now if only he knew how to call his dad and ask him to cough up the goods.
Arriving at the house, they swept in, and while Isabel bounced off, claiming, I need to pack a bag, Chris was left alone with Rasputin. The man simply glared at Chris. Bored, he walked away into a rather messy parlor. Someone was paying their staff too much for too little, and hit a decanter on a sideboard for a drink.
You need to marry Isabel.
The alcohol went down smoothly, as opposed to being sputtered out at the bald statement.
I'm working on it, Chris replied as he poured another.
You won't find her father.
We don't know that for sure.
I do. He's dead. He's not coming back.
Rasputin's lips pressed together tightly, and his brows hung low over his eyes.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time she accepted that. What can it hurt if we try? Go on a little road trip, talk to a few witches and shit.
You would give her false hope?
How about thinking of it more in terms of closure? Look, maybe you didn't see it outside, but I did. She's not lying when she says there's some ghost dude hanging around. One that she says is her daddy. Now, I don't know why no one else can see the spirit, but surely it can't hurt to check into it a bit. You know, let her truly find out for herself that he's dead and gone forever.
Some secrets are best left untouched, and there are more important things afoot. The horsemen have returned.
And?
They are harbingers of the apocalypse.
I hate to break it to you, old man, but my birth was the first sign it was coming.
Now events are beginning to spiral, yet you are not ready.
Says who?
The pointed peak of Rasputin's eyebrows said it all. I'm learning as fast as I can, Chris replied, more defensively than he liked.
It's not yet time.
Says who? You? If you ask me, the only person who's going to decide when it happens is me.
If you live that long.
Rasputin uttered a disdainful sniff.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you're weak.
Did you not notice who just kicked War's tin butt and sent him galloping back to my mommy?
She is testing you, and you fell for it.
Bullshit. No one expected me to control those ghosties.
No. And now that you've revealed you can, you've lost that advantage.
What would you have suggested I do?
The old man shrugged and snared his own glass of aged brandy.
Damned if I know. I'm not the one the prophecy is dragging around by the sack.
What would you have done if you were?
Probably the same thing.
Christopher blinked. Then why the criticism?
Because that is what I do. Better get used to it if you're going to marry my granddaughter.
About that, what do you think she'll do when I can't bring her dad back?
Rasputin shrugged.
Who knows anymore with that female? She's changed so much recently that I wouldn't put killing you past her.
Isabel wouldn't kill me.
Are you sure of that?
The seed of doubt planted, Rasputin turned away and began to leave.
Hey, where are you going?
To ready my robes, the black ones, good for war and funerals.
Rasputin rubbed his hands in glee while his brows danced. Chris got the impression Rasputin didn't speak of his own.
What the fuck have I gotten myself into?
Trouble. His familiar friend.
Chapter 10. Up in her room, with a snoring Goshen sprawled on her bed, Isabel packed a bag. Her mother harangued her the entire time.
You can't just go off with that boy, alone, without a chaperone. What will people think?
They'll think we're in the 21st century and that it's perfectly normal. Really, mother, it's not like I can screw him the moment we set foot out of this house. Or did you forget about your spell?
She glared at her mother, still not having forgiven her for placing a magical chastity belt on her. Mother, of course, tried to justify her actions.
You would never have known it was there if you'd not attempted to fornicate out of wedlock.
It's medieval and wrong. Take the spell off.
No.
I won't have you controlling my life this way.
I can't take it off. The spell can only be broken one way. And had you not run off from your wedding, it wouldn't be an issue.
Are you seriously trying to blame me for this? Isabel paused in the packing of her duffel bag. It had seen better days. Mother believed a young lady's education wasn't complete unless she visited Europe and stayed at the finest hotels, that usually tried to ignore her bedraggled luggage.
Yes, Mother barked, then sighed. No, this whole thing is...
She sat down on the edge of Isabel's bed, heard a low growl from Gushy, and moved to a chair.
Things have gotten rather complicated of late. I swear, I didn't know your grandfather's plan.
Would it have mattered?
Of course it would. I love you. I would never agree to marry you to that lecher Lucifer.
But you'd marry me off to his son. Mother's lips pinched.
I would, but only because I know you feel something for him.
And if I didn't, would you still force me to go through with the marriage?
Would you really put this family in a position where it might go to war with hell?
That caused Isabel some pause. Could she really be that selfish? She cocked her head. If I marry, it will be for love. But if it's any consolation, she said, relenting a bit for her mother, my feelings for Chris are very strong. As long as he didn't totally fuck up, she'd probably end up marrying him. Once he proved himself.
Why are you insisting he bring your father back? You know that's impossible. Even if you have his spirit, it needs a body.
A valid point. A viable body was very important. Would Mother care if it was the same body? Dead bodies tended to decay. Or could that be fixed? That would take some pretty wicked magic. I think we owe it to Father to at least try. Even if we can't bring him to life, we should put his spirit to rest. Has he really been here all this time?
Isabel nodded.
Her mother's shoulders drooped.
And we thought you were lying. I'm sorry.
Sorry? Who was this woman, and what had she done with Mother? Don't apologize. You couldn't know. The psychics all claimed there was no one in the house. Outside, yes. Most mediums refused to go anywhere near Mother's gardens, shrieking and trembling at all the ghosts. Ghosts Isabel also saw, though none as clearly as her father. Did the fact that only she could see him mean something? Was he perhaps not a spirit in the same sense as the others?
Where are you and that boy going to find help for your father?
As if Chris had relayed his plan. Then again, she knew he didn't really have one. She'd seen the panic on his face when she asked. He had no idea where to go or whom to speak to. If it were up to Isabel, there was only one place that came to mind when she thought of magic, dead things, and things that came back to life. We need to visit New Orleans, the heart of voodoo magic in America.
Excellent plan.
Lucifer appeared out of nowhere, rubbing his hands and wearing an obscene amount of beads.
Love that Mardi Gras, all those titties on display. Show me yours and you'll get one of these.
Lucifer offered a necklace with a leer at Maria.
Still as revolting as ever, she noted with a sniff. And vastly inappropriate, given I'm a married woman.
Your husband is lost.
Not for long.
Maria straightened, erasing all traces of a female yielding to despair.
Your son, Chris, has undertaken a quest to win over the heart of my daughter. He is going to return my beloved Thomas.
At the words, Lucifer's brows shot high.
Impossible. The boy doesn't have that kind of power. But I do. And I'd be willing to help. For a price.
Lucifer snapped his fingers, and a large parchment appeared in one of his hands, a dark feathered quill in the other.
Just sign here.
Batting the sheet aside, Isabel stood between them. My mother is not making any bargains with you. No one in this family is, Isabel stated, because we don't have to. Chris is going to bring Father back, and then your son and I are going to get married.
He'll fail, Lucifer claimed flatly.
More like you want him to fail, Isabel stated in sudden insight. You don't want us to get married. You want to renege on the bet.
A married Baphomet is a disgrace to the name. Bad enough that I have one daughter who won't give up her cherry. I don't need a son who's married and monogamous to make me look bad, too.
Just imagine all the legitimate children we will have, Isabel stressed with a smirk. Not a single bastard born out of wedlock.
Ugh. Lucifer made an inverted cross with his middle finger. What is wrong with you? Don't say such things. I never should have made that bet. You'll be the downfall of my evil name.
Now, now, it won't be so bad, Father. You don't mind me calling that, do you?
Isabel advanced on him with a warm smile. We will, after all, be family.
Which means family dinners and celebrations, a card on Father's Day, thoughtful gifts at Christmas, and lots of heartfelt hugs.
She reached for him with open arms, and Lucifer gagged as he stumbled back.
Woman, call the chit off me. What is wrong with the girl? I expected better from Rasputin's spawn.
Mother's lips twitched. I am just as appalled as you, Dark Lord.
I won't have it, he huffed, brimstone smoke curling from his nostrils.
We can't always get what we want. Ask Chris's mother.
Mother?
Lucifer's head spun around, a full 180 that he might peer at her.
What do you know of his mother?
Nothing, she shrugged. Just that she wants to see Chris and sent the horseman War to fetch him.
A rider of the apocalypse is loose on Earth? How do I not know this?
More smoke billowed from his nostrils, thick and dark.
My spies are slacking off too much. How am I to be a proper Lord of Darkness and Lies if I don't know what's happening?
The house trembled as Lucifer vented.
Aren't the horsemen supposed to work for you? Isabel ventured.
The horsemen are loyal to no one but the prophecy that claims they will play a part in bringing about the apocalypse, and since I have no interest in the work all that chaos would entail, that means I have no say in what they do.
So does this mean all four of them work for Chris's mother?
Maria asked.
That could mean you'll have to deal with them if you go with the boy,
she remarked to Isabel. All the more reason for her to join him. Chris would need an ally, even a non-magical one like her.
Woof.
Goshen's sudden bark made her look over and frown.
How much did her puppy understand?
What's this?
Lucifer turned his attention on her dog.
How did you get this mutt?
I found him in the swamp.
Found him?
Lucifer sounded most surprised.
You don't just find a hellhound.
Would you feel better if I said he found me? You found me just as that monster was going to chew off my face, didn't you, Gushy?
She baby-talked him and scratched his chin. He might have rolled his eyes, but his tongue lolled as she scrubbed him.
Will the horrors never cease? Lucifer lamented. My kingdom is crumbling, and no one cares. Even my most vicious creations are turning soft. Ack. I'm leaving before your good habits and TLC rub off on me.
With a snap of his fingers, Lucifer disappeared.
Mother's finely plucked brow arched. That was disturbing. He's the devil, as if you'd expect anything less. I meant the fact that he can appear in bedrooms.
Mother frowned.
I'd better talk to my father about this. Really, there must be a spell to prevent lechers from entering female bedchambers.
Mother moved toward the door, preparing to leave, but paused before exiting.
Oh, and you may keep the dog.
I can?
Do you have any idea how rare it is for a hellhound to choose someone as their owner? I wonder if they can be bred.
Mother's calculating look had Goshen growling. The door slammed shut, and Isabel, left alone at last, had too many things to mull over. Such as,
How would she and Chris travel? Would they share accommodations? It would be safer in case of another attack. What if there was only one bed? Questions that left her flustered. As to her mission to save her father, avoid more horsemen, and continue to peeve Lucifer, she was a Rasputin. Adventure was in her blood. Mayhem was to be expected. Chapter 11. After Rasputin had left, Chris tossed back another fiery shot or two of liquid courage. A good thing, because Evangeline, Isabel's wicked sister, walked in and began staring at him. Gawked long enough that Chris snapped and said, "What?" "I am trying to see if I can spot who your mother is." "How about a deadbeat cow just like my father?" She'd abandoned him intentionally. At least Lucifer had the excuse that he didn't know about his son. She, on the other hand, chose to give him away. One has to wonder why she did. Knowing who she is would greatly help in that understanding. "Well, I can't help you there. I never even knew Clarice wasn't my birth mother until recently. I hear she sent War to fetch you." As you can see, he failed. Evangeline cocked her head. "Surprising, I have to admit. Is that the first time you've met one of the horsemen?" "Until now, I didn't even know they existed for real." But he'd heard the stories. His adopted mother used to read him the Tales of the Apocalypse as a child, a compilation of the Bible quotes on the end of the world. His favorite passage came from Revelation 6, the King James Version. "And said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" "I shall stand, for I am the one who sits on that throne." Today, he finally got a glimpse of that power. When War and his legion yielded to him and left empty-handed, victory filled him with intense elation. He'd stood and won against his first foe. But there would be others. He eyed Evangeline, a wily witch with attitude and smarts. "What do you know of the horsemen?" "Many things." Her finely drawn brows arched. "Am I to assume you wish me to tell you what I know?" "Listen, you and I both want the same thing." "I highly doubt that." "I want to marry Isabel, not you, but for that to work, a couple of things have to happen. One, I need to figure out how to fix your dad." Her lips pursed. "Figures she'd make that part of the bargain. You do know he's dead." "No shit. And while I'm trying to do the almost impossible, I might have to deal with some more of those horsemen dudes because I don't think any of us believe my so-called mother is going to give up so easily." "One would hope not. The thought of pitting myself against one of her power is quite titillating. I wonder if she's got a spellbook I can steal." "How about I give you anything I find if you help me out?" "Who are War and his buddies?" "The horsemen are the harbingers of the end times. They are supposed to be contained in a prison. It seems they've escaped." "And no one noticed?" "The horsemen have been lost for eons. While the scriptures mention them, no one has even actually recorded seeing them. Your grandfather spoke as if he knew War." "Perhaps he does. But that doesn't mean they met in person." "If they've been lost forever, then where do the stories about them come from?" Evangeline shrugged. "Where does any legend start? Word of mouth handed down through generations. Religion doesn't need fact for people to believe and embellish. However, it is my belief, from the thesis I did in college, that once upon a time, those horsemen did indeed roam the earth, wreaking havoc until someone put them away." "Who?" Again, her shoulders lifted and fell. "That is not known, nor is the how. Although, if we go back to Bible verse, then there is mention of the breaking of seals to release them." "I know that part. Something about the seals being broken by the Lamb." Chris wrinkled his nose. "That's what they said in the scripture, but I don't see how a lamb could break any kind of seal, especially not a strong magical one." "The lamb is probably a euphemism, meaning someone with innocent intent, Who the lamb is isn't important. The fact is that the horsemen roam. You might get the destiny you're always blathering about after all.
Great. Now if only he could